Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." This is the word of the Lord.
The expectations around Christmas can be crushing. I walked into an American Girl store in Northern Virginia and I saw this: give magic, get memories. That's not even good enough to give presents anymore. We have to give magic. It's not even good enough to receive presents. We have to get memories in return. The expectations around Christmas can be crushing. But in the midst of all of the grand expectations surrounding Christmas, I experienced something this year that exceeded my expectations. It was called Mary Hertzler's Parade of Trees. Mary Hertzler is the woman who runs the community pool where my kids swim each summer. And she also, in addition to being the queen of summer at the pool, apparently she has this Christmas party called Mary Hertzler's Parade of Trees. And I had never been, though I had been invited. This year, I decided to go to the Parade of Trees for the first time. I had no idea what to expect. She lives out on a farm in Toano. I imagine that she had decorated the trees outside and that we would be driving a dirt path. I did not know what to expect. I showed up at Mary Hertzler's Parade of Trees, and the trees are actually in the house. They're inside the house. You want to go to the trees? There are some of the trees. This is downstairs. You go upstairs. There are more trees upstairs. You go to the bathroom. There's even a tree shaped like a plunger right there in the bathroom. All in all, there are 196 trees decorated in this one person's home. The trees weren't even the best part, though. I came across the spread of cookies. Here are the spread of cookies. I had to do a panoramic shot on my phone. I hovered over the cookies on my tiptoes and took this shot so you could see it. Now, in order to fully understand this, you have to know I am an Italian-American man from an Italian-American family, and we live in constant cookie deprivation. My whole life is spent in cookie deprivation, so I come across this, and what's the first thing I feel like I need to do? I need to text my Italian-American father, and I tell him this: you would not believe the spread at the party where I am. It's a panoramic. You have to click on it to see the full pic. All homemade. Then what I do next, because I really want my dad to have the full experience, I start taking individual shots of the cookies. Okay, so there's one, go to the next one. There, the gingerbread cookies, and then the last one here, the cream cheese cookies. And so I start taking individual shots, and before I can even text the individual shots to my dad, this is what I get in response. Nice, I blew it up and magnified everything. Wow, a taste extravaganza. Now, my oldest daughter was at Christmastown for her birthday with my wife, but I felt like we were at the true Christmastown. It was the Christmas party I had been waiting for my entire life. So my question is, what are you waiting for this Christmas? What is it that you are waiting for this Christmas? Now, kids, I know we have a lot of kids that come to the 4:30 service. Kids, I know what you're waiting for. You are waiting for the presents. And since it's the 4:30 and there's already a little bit of noise going on in the room, which is totally fine, I want someone to shout it out. Kids, what are you waiting for? No, specifically. Oh, I know. Trust me, I knew you were waiting for presents. What do you, give me, right here, I see a little girl right here. What do you really want tomorrow? You. What'd you say? She wants a hoverboard right there. Great idea. And you know, if I asked every single kid in this room, they could answer that question. What are they waiting for this Christmas? With adults, it can be a little more complicated. Kids, I don't want to bum you out, but when you're an adult, these are some of the things you end up waiting for. You're waiting for a phone call from someone you long to be connected with, but for whatever reason have grown apart. You might be waiting for a job that can really pay the bills. You might be waiting for a deployment of a loved one to end, or the results of a test to come back negative. You might be waiting for healing in your body, healing in your marriage, healing in a friendship. Maybe you're waiting for an apology. Maybe you're waiting for someone to help you clean up the mess that you have made in your life. What are you waiting for this Christmas? See, the difficulty about this party that exceeded all of my expectations is that the party ended. The cookies, fantastic, but I did get hungry again. Kids, the presents I got as a kid, I don't have them anymore. They broke, they got lost. I got tired of playing with them. The healing that you might be looking for, oftentimes, one sickness feels like it is healed, only for another one to come. Or maybe the phone call and the apology finally come, but it goes poorly. Whatever we're waiting for at Christmas often turns out to be less than what we expected. But in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35, when God's expedition reaches a man named Simeon that Wes just read about, his response reveals, whatever we are waiting for, Christmas is more. Whatever we're waiting for, Christmas is actually more. See, this man Simeon, we meet him in verse 25 of Luke's gospel. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And kids, if you don't know what the word consolation means, it means comfort. He's waiting for the country where he lives to be comforted. You see, his country had gone through two painful exiles hundreds of years earlier. And though they had returned from exile, their country had been conquered by a foreign government, the Roman government. And Simeon is waiting in an occupied land, waiting for comfort for his people, waiting for the words of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 to come through, where Isaiah predicted, he said, one day, comfort will come. God will say, comfort Israel. God will speak tenderly to our people again. On this particular day in Luke's gospel, we learn that Simeon is drawn into the temple courts by the power of the Holy Spirit. He senses God leading him to go there. And as he is drawn into these temple courts, Mary and Joseph show up with the baby Jesus. This is about 40 days after the night that Jesus was born. It's mandated in the law of the Old Testament that 40 days after you would give birth to the son, you would come and you would offer a gift to God at the temple. And so Mary and Joseph come 40 days after the first Christmas. And Simeon comes and they lock eyes in the temple courts. And this is what Simeon says. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And that's the line that really jumped off of the page to me. His father and his mother marvel at what was said about the child. Think of everything that Mary and Joseph have heard about their child up to this point in the story. Mary has heard things like this: "He will be called great and called Son of the Most High God. He will sit on the throne of David. He will reign forever. His kingdom, there will be no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and overshadow you, so your child will be called holy. Joseph was told, 'You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" They have heard all of these things, yet Simeon's statements make Mary and Joseph marvel. Why? Well, whatever Mary and Joseph were waiting for, Christmas was more. Whatever Simeon was waiting for, Christmas was more. Whatever we are waiting for, Christmas is more. More what? If you read Simeon's words, first you'll see it's more peace than you could ever imagine. Simeon says in verse 29 of Luke 2, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Simeon is an old man. He's facing death at this point. He knows he is about to leave this earth, yet he says, "I'm going to depart in great peace." This is contrary to how our culture views and experiences death. I believe William Shakespeare put it beautifully in his masterpiece, Hamlet, where Hamlet considers death. He says this: "To die, to sleep perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come." Hamlet in this scene is kind of peering over the cliff. He's looking over the edge. He's considering what death would be like. And as he ponders it, he says, that's the rub. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what it's going to feel like. What dreams may come. He steps away from that precipice in fear, as we all do. Yet Simeon here in this moment, he looks across the precipice. He says, "I'm ready to go, Lord. In peace, I will die." Because whatever I was waiting for, Christmas is more. It's not just more peace. It's actually more personal. See, every other religion says we have information that will help you find your way. Every other religion says we have teaching that will light your path. But when Simeon proclaims in verse 30 that "my eyes have seen your salvation," what he is saying is Christmas is more. Christmas is more than information to help us find the way. It is a person, Jesus Christ, who is the way. It's not just more peace. It's not just more personal. It's also more inclusive. You see, in verse 31, Simeon proclaims that this salvation, this personal salvation, it has been prepared in the presence of who? In the presence of all people. That God did not hide this from anyone. This was not for the elite to go and search and find somewhere, but that God prepared this salvation in the presence of all people. And then remember Simeon's hope. Remember, what was Simeon waiting for? The consolation of Israel. And then you read these words in verse 32, "A light for revelation to Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." Simeon was waiting for consolation and comfort for his people. And what he found was consolation and comfort for all people. Whatever Simeon was waiting for, Christmas was more. We've been in a series here at the chapel entitled Expedition Bethlehem, looking at God's great journey to Bethlehem and all of the different people he invited to be a part of that journey along the way. By the time we get to this point in Luke's gospel, we have met Zechariah, an older man in a respected profession. We've met Joseph, a younger man who was a common laborer. We've met Elizabeth, an older woman who was grateful to have a child at last, and Mary, a young girl frightened to have a child so soon. We've met shepherds, people for whom life did not turn out as they hoped. And now we meet Simeon, an old man about to pass from this world into the next. What do they all have in common? That God included them in his great expedition to Bethlehem. Biblical scholar N.T. Wright puts it like this. Luke wants to draw readers of every age and stage into his picture. No matter who you are, the story of Jesus from the feeding trough in Bethlehem to the empty tomb and beyond can become your story. The question is how? How could this story that Christmas is more, how could it become our story? Well, Christmas is not just more peace. It's not just more personal. It's not just more inclusive. It's more costly than we ever imagined. Simeon says to Mary and Joseph in verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Notice how these words are introduced. They're introduced that as a blessing. It says that Simeon blessed Mary, and he said, by the way, a sword will pierce your heart and your soul. How could this be a blessing? The piercing of Mary's soul points forward to the agony that she would feel watching the piercing of her son. Yet her son's piercing was not a piercing of the soul. It was not an emotional piercing of the pain of seeing a loved one get harmed. It was a physical piercing of his hands and his feet, a physical agony of the depth of pain of bearing the sin of the world on the cross. You see, Jesus did not just come to this earth at the risk of his life. He came at the cost of his very life. So that we might not open presents under a tree tomorrow, but we might have the ultimate gift of eternal life with him. That we might not eat a platter of cookies at a Christmas party, but that we might feast at what the Bible calls the great banquet. And so the question comes again. What are you waiting for? And do you believe that Christmas is more? Do you believe that Christmas is more? Do you believe that Jesus Christ in this moment is offering you more peace, a more personal relationship with God than you ever thought possible, and that this invitation is inclusive enough to include you? That this invitation is inclusive enough, is more inclusive than we ever even dared hope, that whatever we're waiting for, Christmas is more, and Jesus invites us into that more of his life when we place our faith and ultimate trust in him. The world-renowned painter Rembrandt, in his early 20s, painted a scene of Simeon and Jesus Christ. This is the picture of Rembrandt of Simeon in the temple. And you see here in this picture the light on Jesus, the light coming from somewhere above, shining down on Jesus, illuminating Simeon, illuminating his mother, illuminating this priest in front of them. Rembrandt painted this picture so that he could get fame as someone who painted historical pieces. He was at a point in his career where he had not been recognized as a historical painter. And he said, I want more from my career. I want more fame. I want more acknowledgement. I want more people to say that I'm a genius. And so this was the picture that he painted. Rembrandt lived his life. He got that fame. He got that more. But ultimately, he overspent. He ended up a poor man in debt to many people. He ended up an outcast of the artist guild. And he died suddenly in his early 60s. No one expected it. When somebody hadn't seen him for 3 days, they finally went into his studio and they found him dead on the floor. Yet he had once again painted Simeon and Jesus. This is the painting that next time. It's dark because it was actually unfinished. He never finished the painting. But at that last moment in his life, after he had gained it all and lost it all, when he once again desired to have more in his life, he came back to this scene of Simeon and Jesus. And I believe in his heart, because he knew that whatever he was waiting for, that Christmas was more. And so what are you waiting for this Christmas? Whatever it is, through faith in Jesus Christ, Christmas will be more.